Yes. So this morning we are going to be talking about intimacy with God. This, of course, is one of my favorite topics. When I was pretty young when I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And I grew up in a Christian home. But, you know, I'd asked Jesus to come into my heart, but I was somewhat of a bad child. And I may have mentioned that in passing, but it was really true. I really had a mean streak in me. And I knew that Jesus lived in my heart, but I just didn't know why he wasn't coming out of me. And I want to tell you about my first encounter with the love of God. I knew that I was safe. I knew that Jesus was in my heart. One afternoon, or I think it was an evening, we were at the dinner table with my folks and my siblings, and I picked a fight with my brothers, and my mom and dad heard me say a foul word, and so it was synchronized, get to your room. So I stomped up to my room and slammed the door, and I plunked myself down on the bed, and I was so mad. But then that mad turned to sad, and it turned to self-pity, and then I just began pouring out my heart out loud. But the strangest thing was that I all of a sudden realized that somebody was listening. I thought, well, that's weird. And I even looked at the bed to see if there was an imprint on the bed. It was that strong. And then something else began to change. I began to have this love pouring into my heart from my mom and my dad, and I hadn't felt that before. And then I wanted to run downstairs and ask my brothers for forgiveness. And I thought, what is wrong with me? But it was so real, it was so tangible that something was changing. And I knew that it was God in my room. And that was my first encounter with the love of the Father. Just being with him began to change me. I can't explain it. I just know that I began to feel safe. I began to feel the security of that would take me out of my pain. And that's the definition of intimacy with God. It's being able to run into the Father's arms even when we have missed the mark. We sit up on his lap. We look into his eyes, and we just revel in his love. Intimacy with God is that ability to let his love soak into us freely. And, you know, this is one of our fundamental teachings at Airport Church and now at TACF Scarborough. We just so believe that intimacy with God and learning to hear his voice is so absolutely fundamental for our health. And it's part of every believer's inheritance to be able to hear the voice of God, but to hear the heart of God. And there's a theme that runs all the way through Scripture of God's desire to have that intimate relationship with us. You know, and he so provided for us. And we see that theme. But then we see another theme running all the way through Scripture. And that is of man withdrawing. And how many know that you can feel the love of God, but there's something else that prevents us from actually being able to receive it. Let's look at Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had the best possible start. They actually knew God as their creator. And it wasn't long before they began to believe a lie about God. And that resulted in disobedience. That resulted in that barrier coming down. And no longer could they access the presence of God in the same way. That intimacy with him was lost. But what happens? We see God providing. Right at the point where you think he's scratching his head going, okay, that's it. Let's just erase this one and start over. No, he provides. It's his idea to cleanse them, to provide clothes for their nakedness. And of course, we know that the first animal then had to be sacrificed. Someone's blood had to be shed for that. And but that was God's heart. Then later on, we see the children of Israel. God called them out of bondage and captivity, and he revealed his heart to them. And we know that it was his desire that they know him intimately. And they've just walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. They've just seen God do miraculous things. And they're saying to Moses, we need some, you know, we need some guidelines. So Moses and God are talking about this. Moses leaves for a few days. He goes and talks to God about the commandments. Well, while Moses and God are working on that, the children of Israel go through this sense of abandonment or something. And so right away, they go for a false comfort. They build a golden calf and they start to worship it. And, you know, how many know God has feelings? We know the Bible says God got angry. Just like a lover, like a righteous lover. He's like, that's it, that's it. And Moses is like, stop, 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 hold the phone. Don't destroy them. You do love them. You do love them. And God's going, well, you're right. But you know what? You're going to have to mediate between me and them. And so God again provides a mediator. We can begin to see his long-range plan in that. And then we see in Exodus 40 that God chooses to tabernacle with his people. And that just simply means that he chooses to come and live with them. You know, he provided a pillar of fire at night to keep them warm in the cold desert. And then in the heat of the day, he provides a cloud to come over them. He is constantly providing. He is he provides priests to make atonement on behalf of the people. But of course, that same pattern of withdrawal and mistrust and disobedience is all the way through this relationship. And then just jumping ahead, we see that Jesus finally comes as the ultimate sacrifice. And he is the ultimate provision that the Father makes so that we can come back into relationship with the Father. Because that is actually what was lost during that that basic trust was destroyed because of sin. And Jesus came and he said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. This was the Father's plan. You know, Jesus is the way and the Father is the destination. He is what this plan was all about. It's about fellowship. It is about intimacy with God. And that's what we really want to stress today, is that the Bible, this beautiful book, is a love story. It has been made into doctrine that has brought division. You cannot read this book without relationship, or it will end up doctrine and legalism and rules and regulations. You have to read this through the eyes of a love relationship, or it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It just sounds like one big contradiction. But once you come into that love relationship with God, you begin to access. You begin to find out that is who he is. You begin to find out who you are as well. From Genesis to Revelation, it is God's desire to express his affection towards us. As we already mentioned, he created Adam and Eve to be joined together as one to explain our union with him. in Hosea 3:1, God calls Israel his wife, even though she's an adulterous one. He still loves her and he tries to woo her back to himself. That's his picture. He's speaking in Hosea. You know, being unfaithful is not enough to cause him to turn his back. Because he's a righteous God, there has to be provision. But he is in love with us. Song of Songs is a book that is an allegory of the progression of intimacy and love that we can have with the bridegroom. And then in Ezekiel, the Lord says that we are like an abandoned child that he found and claimed for his own. When we were old enough for love, he entered a marriage covenant with us. And then in the New Testament, we're told that Jesus will be our bridegroom. And that relationship between husband and wife is to be like Christ's sacrificial example of love for us. Is it no wonder that relationships, marriage relationships, are so under attack? You know, it is not flesh and blood that we're up against. You know, in my relationship with my husband, you know, we're going along and all of a sudden the dart will fly from either one of us and we'll stop and we'll go, where did that come from? And as soon as we get back on track, that unity is restored, that tenderness. But it can happen to any one of us. And if we should let the enemy step in there and that dart lodge, let me tell you, intimacy is the first thing to go, isn't it? And we're told in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And so Christ made sure that we had that example. He comes underneath and he lifts up. And whether you're a husband or a wife, you need to have that attitude of coming underneath and lifting up, humbling yourself. Jesus set that example because it was our relationship with him that is at stake. You know, if you're squabbling with your spouse, it spills over on how you see your relationship with God, doesn't it? That's because it's designed to speak loudly into our lives. It's designed that way. In Revelations 19 and Revelations 22, I do read from the Bible. I just write it out so I don't have to use my glasses all the time. But in Revelations, Jesus is coming back again for a bride. And we know that the Father is preparing us to be that bride for his son. I don't know about you, but I know that parents they're pretty particular about who their kids end up with, aren't they? So let me ask this question. What does God see in us that he would prepare us for his son? There must be something pretty amazing about us. Just think about that when the enemy starts sliming you and you start thinking, you know, I'm not worth this, or, you know, I'm just not good enough. Oh, yeah, there is something about you that you don't even know about yet. Amen. And in fact, God designed the Ark of the Covenant to depict this. The Ark of the Covenant, God had the children of Israel take acacia wood. Acacia wood is a thorny wood. It's hard. It's hard to work with. It's you know, it's gnarled. It's thorny. It's ugly. And when you work with it, you can actually cut yourself. But God said, you know, I want you to carve this and put it together and then put gold on the outside and gold on the inside. And this is a picture of us. You know, left to ourselves, we're not the prettiest wood that there is. But God chose to come and dwell in us, to have his actual presence resident in us. This is amazing. And that's one of the reasons why God is so intentional in bringing cleansing to our lives. You know, he cannot just leave us the way that we are, But he continually provides, so that he can bring us into wholeness, so that we can be the reciprocal lovers that we are. God is trying to capture our hearts for Jesus. And he's teaching us all about our spirit man. You know, Romans 5:5 says, he is revealing his love to his bride. God has poured out his love into our hearts by his Holy Spirit. That's past tense. He's already done it.
Yeah.
Okay? Right now, his love is resident on the inside of you, ready to be released. Ephesians 3 says, we cannot understand how high and wide and long and deep is the love of God unless he reveals it to us. And how does he do that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit in our innermost being. Put your hand on your belly right now. He's in here. And if you've come into this service and you don't have the confidence that he is in there, come and pray with us. We will pray for you and we will make sure that you do everything possible to make it legal through the blood of Jesus. You come to him and you give your heart to him, and he is able to come and live on the inside of you. There is no way that we can know God exclusively by what's out there. God is so gracious and has provided so much for us that it is his desire to live on the inside and reveal himself from that place. He wants to make us so secure that he made sure kingdom is in your heart already. The kingdom of heaven is within us. What a gracious, tender, amazing God. Wow. That's why head knowledge must give way to heart knowledge. That is why we must experience this revelation. That's why we come together. We need that experience of being able to touch one another, because we are the body of Christ. And bodies are built to touch. They're built to be hugged on. They're built to experience with, in the same way our bodies have five senses, smelling, tasting, touching, you know, seeing, yes, hearing, the obvious ones. But we have spiritual senses that were shut down because of the attack on intimacy. And God is calling our senses to come back. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And God is so wanting to take the blinders off of all of our senses so that we're able to feel again. This belongs to us. Jesus paid a high price so that we could come and know this affection. But why do we withdraw? Why? Why are we afraid of God? Why is there something called the fear of intimacy? Like Adam and Eve, why do we run and hide? You know, why do we have such a strong propensity to run for false comforts? And I'm convinced that you know, when we talk about sin is just evidence that we've got love hunger. Okay? When we're participating in something that destroys us, we're trying to reach out for something. You know, sometimes we just judge each other when actually we just need to love one another into health. Because sin is a condition of brokenness and of isolation. No wonder people have cycles of sin. Their behavior is there because in their hearts they're broken. They don't have that fellowship. And God has come, he's made provision to draw us back into that place where we know the great lover of all times. Psalm 32 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. You see the mother heart of God just pouring out there. He says, I will counsel you. I'll watch over you. But then he says, do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come near to you. Have you ever wondered about that scripture? You know, have you ever walked up to a horse in the pasture, and all you want to do is walk up to this magnificent creature and stroke its nose, you know? And that thing, first of all, it shies away from you. It, you know, if you reach out your hand, it tosses its head and it steps back, and, you know, and it's aloof, it's skittish, and, you know, a horse's nature is very sensitive. And if you wanted to ride that horse, you'd have to put on all the equipment, right? You'd have to make sure that that horse was under your control. It's a pretty good picture that God is using here. But if you build relationship with that horse, and when we were growing up on the farm, I mean, you knew your horse, and the horse was all excited when you showed up because it knew that it was going to go for a ride. And when you knew that horse well enough, the horse would come up to you. And, you know, you could even ride bareback. You could just hop on that horse, and away you go. And you didn't even have to tell the horse where you're going because he knew the route. And you would just fly like the wind, and then you're back again. It always comes back home again. And this is the picture that the Lord's showing us. He's saying, I want to have this kind of relationship with you where you've got this built-in knowing my ways and knowing my voice. You know how a horse will come up to you and it'll smell your pockets to see if there's sugar and carrots and stuff like that. Well, we come to the Lord not just for him. Sometimes we come up for the carrots and the sugar too. But that's all part of relationship, isn't it? But if it's just that, there's something missing. You want to win over that trust. And God is saying, you know, don't be like the horse that have no understanding of me. And they have to have these bridles and blinders on. You know what happens? If you just have your rules and regulations, you know what you have? You have just rules and regulations. Guidelines and structures turn into legalism when intimacy is not developed. And so, you know, the only way that we're going to have a church that is safe and alive and vibrant and relational is if we guard jealously intimacy with God and intimacy with each other. You know, when people take offense, what is that all about? That is a violation of intimacy and of trust. And so let's unpackage what we mean when we talk about religious spirits. Religious spirits are assigned to offenses. They're assigned to places where we're hurt. And they will grow there. And then you start to control your world around you with rules and regulations. Well, they shouldn't have done that. You know, and then we become, you know, rigid in the way that we feel. And God is saying, guard intimacy with one another. Sometimes we withdraw because of the pain that we experience when we go through trials and temptations. And I felt like the Lord wanted to mention that this morning. I think it's Bill Johnson that I first heard this from. And he said, trials come from God. Temptations come from the enemy. And you go, what? Trials don't come from God. Oh, yes, they do. Trials come for a very good reason. Trials come to test the strength of your love and relationship. My dad was a farm person, and sometimes he would have to make a piece of machinery because he couldn't buy it. You know, he had some old equipment. So he'd get a piece of steel and he'd put it in the forge. He'd get that piece of metal really, really red hot. And he'd take a hammer, he'd go bang, 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 bang. And he'd shape that thing. And then afterwards, he'd go and stick it in this cold bucket of water. And guess what? It was bent out of shape. Or bent into shape. Sometimes we get bent out of shape because we get stuck in the fire and we get hammered on. And then we get a cold bucket of water stuck on our head. Good picture. Well, it ain't the enemy. God knows that we have to be tempered. He knows that if we're left to ourselves, that we'll be useless. And he's shaping his son in us. He's shaping his character in us. And it's all about intimacy. Can you think about trials as a call to intimacy? I mean, we don't want to think that way, but that's what we're going to have to do. The enemy, however, rides in on a trial with temptations for the express reason of violating our trust in God. A trial is meant to produce trust. A temptation is meant to violate trust or to take it away. Temptation comes from the enemy while we are going through a trial. Temptations increase to distract us from the sweet safety of his embrace. Another quote I like from Bill Johnson is, sometimes you must be willing to live with mystery if you're going to go forward. That is about intimacy. I remember clinging to the Lord one time. I thought I was going to die. I was hurting so bad inside. And I thought, what are you doing to me? What are you doing to me? And all of a sudden, on the inside of me, I heard his spirit crying. And I could feel that he was going right along with me. And I got in agreement with him somehow because I could feel his pain feeling for me. And I went, it's okay. You don't have to tell me why. And suddenly this amazing peace just flooded my soul. I had courage pour in. I had strength pour in. And I went the distance, and at the end of it, there was an amazing reward. And everything got turned around, and I couldn't believe it. But I got to walk through the trial. I got to have that deep, deep intimacy with him that was a complete surprise to me. But it shaped Christ in me, and I was so empowered. And if I'd stayed a baby in love, I would still be there. If I had said, what are you doing to me? And got mad and just withdrew, that cycle would have continued. He'd be faithful to bring me back to another test identical to it because he wants me to be intimate with him. Intimacy will unlock your destiny. And as I've said before, without intimacy, you don't know who God really is, and you do not know who you are. It's only when we are in him that we actually know who we are. And you can think of that for your close friends and spouses as well. The best way to truly know your partner is from God's perspective. It's from his eyes. I mean, the coldest hearts can be warmed back to life when we get God's perspective on the people around us. In Revelations 22, we know that Jesus is returning for his bride. And there that passage says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. That does not mean that God is saying, come, 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 come. It's two parties. You know, the Spirit and the bride calling one another. And God is putting that passion in our hearts. I can't make that happen, but I can respond. God is warming that part of my heart that doesn't respond. And we can actually cooperate with him. And this is the place, this is why we're talking about this today. It's bringing us to a place where we're saying, I don't always understand, but I want to cooperate with you because I want you. I want to be able to be hungry for you. You know, you might have a stone cold heart, and yet there's something inside of you that says that's not right. Well, believe it or not, that can be passion. That part of you that says it ain't right, that I can't feel anything. And that's the part. Let his breath come and warm you right there. Intimacy comes by seeking his face. You know, when you seek somebody's face or you're looking for them. Ramesh, do you mind standing? If I come and looking for my husband and I want to talk to him, I don't go, Ramesh, darling, and Ramesh, darling, where am I going to fix my eyes? Oh, Ramesh, darling. Oh, baby.
Meeting over.
Thank you, darling. When you make that eye contact, that's when everything changes. That's where you communicate. Your spirit, connecting with the other party's spirit, causes you to live, to be truly alive. And in Hebrews, it says that we're to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. That doesn't mean that we just imagine some person way out there. No, we fix our eyes on Jesus' eyes, and we know that his gaze is on us. And let his gaze warm us. Let his gaze speak life into us. Amen. So earlier when I told you about my first encounter with God, where the Father, his love chased me down. He pursued me. Well, in a relationship, there is someone who will pursue you. But then at some point, you pursue the other person. There's a seeking after one another. And we would not be made mature in love if we did not seek after God. Yeah. We need that. We need to discover that. If you read Song of Songs, you see that so clear. That the lover comes and knocks on the door, and there's a bit of a delay, and the lover goes away, and then the beloved goes, "Where'd you go?" And the beloved runs out to find their lover. And there's this wonderful romance that is there to stretch the heart, to cause the heart to be more and more involved. If it's an invitation. Deuteronomy 4 says, "But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all of your heart, with all of your soul." I have a wonderful picture. It's kind of interesting that my cousin Helen is here because she'll remember this. My father, I have a lot of father stories. My father had polio in his leg. I always thought every father limped because his one leg was like this. And he also had trouble with his lungs, and so he had this pigeon chest. So he had four kids, but he could never run after them, and he could never yell at them. How blessed are we? But what my dad would do is he would put these big fat sealer rings in his pocket. Some of you remember sealer rings, but they're big elastic bands for the most part. And so what would happen is when he wanted to get our attention, he would hide behind something, he'd get out the elastics, and he'd ping us. And it would be like, poof. Something would hit your ear or your behind or your shoulder, and the war was on. And we'd grab one that we could find that wasn't too far out in the open, and then we'd go hide. And pretty soon there were sealer rings going all over the place. And then we'd find the source where they were coming from, and we would tackle him, and we would get on him, and just it was a love fest. And while he had our attention, he'd give us our chores. But while we were so enamored with him, we were so happy to go and do our chores because We felt love, we felt secure, we felt his pleasure in us. And it was a wonderful picture and has always been a great picture to me of when the Father, he comes and sometimes you feel a little sting. Well, let that be your cue that he's wanting you to play with him, that he wants you to come to him and then go tackle him. That's your home assignment. Go tackle him. Intimacy should transform us. It should change us. You know, when renewal happened at the airport church 15, 16 years ago, many of us have testimonies of how much that changed us. I mean, my life was completely changed, radically, radically. And when I start to think, well, my life isn't going anywhere, I have learned that it's intimacy that I go and check. Because true intimacy will continually change us. It will continually transform us. 2 Corinthians 13:18 says, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." In other words, when you live with someone, you begin to look like them. Be careful who you marry. You sound like them, you look like them, you smell like them. They get all over you. And John 15, Jesus says, "Abide in me and let my words abide in you." He wants us to stay with him. It's a love relationship, isn't it? And that love relationship changes us. Some of you want to be desperately, desperately married. Well, that's a God-given desire. Don't let that destroy you. Let it build in you. That you would understand that that is God's heart. That he longs for us to have that kind of intimacy and trust. And that is his desire to come and meet that need. Whether it's through a human being or his own way of expressing it. Let's believe for partners. But you don't have to go without. He wants to come and nurture you right there. He does not want us lonely. Lonely is not good, okay? He's called us to intimacy. Our pastor Carol Arnott says that the Lord told her, "I have many servants, but I have few lovers." And we heard that long ago, but it has remained something in my heart. I want to be a lover. Yes, I want to serve. And we know that lovers outwork servants every single time. You know, we have an amazing leadership team. And you know why? Because they are sold out for the Lord. They serve out of devotion to him. And they are cultivating intimacy. But if they start feeling used, if they start feeling tired, you know what? That's our check. Okay, how's your relationship with God? How are you doing? How is our relationship with you? These are tests because it's all about intimacy. And if we get burned out and used up, you know, go back, find your first love, pour back into that relationship. How are we doing on time? How many have heard the Heidi Baker story? It was right after the tsunami. Heidi was ministering in India, and she, I'll just back up. It was about a year before that. The Lord had said to her, "Heidi, if you give me your mornings, I will do in 1 hour what it would take a year to do." And so, you know, she doesn't have a lot of extra time, but she got up earlier. She didn't just, you know, push things off her calendar. She got up just a little bit earlier. And then, of course, back to right after the tsunami, she's in a little, she's in India. She's flying out. She has an hour. And the Lord said, I want you to minister to a local tribe. And so she says, is there anyone around here? Any tribe around here? And they said, yeah, but you don't want to go to that one because it's Muslim and they'd sooner kill you than listen to you. And she says, well, take me there, but take me to the chief because I want him to know what I'm all about. So they took her to the chief. And as he's coming out of his home, she realizes that he's blind. And she runs up to him. Who would run up to a chief? But she threw her arms around him and held him. Can you believe it? You can't see me coming. But she just held him and held him and held him. Well, why? Because the love of God was compelling her. And she held him, and all of a sudden he goes, I can see, I can see, I can see. And she was able to minister the gospel, and the whole tribe got saved, and she was back on the plane within that hour. And that is the priority that God places on intimacy with him. You know, we believe that if you put intimacy first and foremost, that the efforts that you have will be so minimal compared to with what it could have been. That's why he says, cease striving and know that I am God. That term, know that I am God, is an intimate one. It is a call to intimacy. I want us just right now to enter a time of ministry. Just right in your seats. I want to give you a test for intimacy, if that's okay with you. We know that God gave us fathers to show us his heart towards us. We also know that fathers generally fail us in the course of our lifetime, one way or another, and then it becomes difficult to relate to God as Father because of those hurts. But I want you right now to just close your eyes. Now picture your earthly father. Now I want you to look him right in the eyes. When you can see him, put your hand up. Okay. Now, what expression do you see in his face? Okay. Now, I want you to look into your Heavenly Father's eyes. What do you see? You know, what kind of feelings, if any, does that produce? You know, usually these two pictures are very similar. If your father was harsh or critical, you will probably expect God to be harsh and critical with you. You may have had a measure of healing there, but you know what? There's generally some residue left over. This is a natural thing that happens when there has been a violation on that love relationship. If your father abused you one way or another, you may feel used. You may feel like people just want to get close to you because what they can get from you. If your father was emotionally absent or distant, you will think that God is keeping you at arm's length. If your father wasn't there for you, you'll probably have trouble trusting that God will be there for you when you need him. You know, one of the fundamental things that we believe in at our church is soaking in God's presence. And this isn't just some, you know, quiet, nice thing to do. We soak because we know that hard ground that has an opportunity to have the gentle rain of his spirit drizzle. Whoa. That drizzling, soft gorgeous rain begins to break up the hard ground. That's why we value soaking in His presence. Our hearts can get hardened so quickly. And God so cares about this. Hurts build walls around our hearts. You know, when we self-protect and we start to say, well, I'm not going to let you hurt me ever again. And what happens is we shut out people, but we also shut out God. And sometimes when we can't feel His affection, it might be that there may be an inner vow that you made somewhere along the line where you said, nobody's ever going to do that to me again. Well, God wants to be your protector. And He needs you to say, you know what? I renounce that vow that I made and I welcome you to come and be my protector. Sometimes it can be as simple as that. These are the blockages that so easily keep us distant from His heart. Blockages like unforgiveness. You just reserve the right to hold that little part to the side. But it will cause you to not be able to receive affection. How about ungodly beliefs? Sometimes we just believe things about God that just are not true. And we don't even know that we're holding that against Him. You can think God loves everybody else, but He doesn't love me quite the same because He hasn't given me what I really wanted. That can be an ungodly belief. And you know, all of us have experienced this, but we can't hold on to one belief that is so opposite to the very nature of who He is. We have to let go of some of those things that rise up in us and are never challenged. Sometimes we carry bitter roots in us. Sometimes we just expect the same old thing to happen over and over again. We call those bitter root expectancies. Sometimes we just walk with that. And that damages that intimacy with God. Wounding and hurts cause us to withdraw. So if you find yourself withdrawing today, it's probably not because you're a bad person. It's probably because you're self-protecting. And God so wants to warm you and bring healing to you. You know, what happens when we must wait a really long time for God to do something? We start thinking, did He forget? You know, does He care? And then you know what we do? We go, well, I guess I'll have to do it myself. And when if you think that kind of exhausted feeling on the inside, chances are that you're walking through one of those trials and you just need to throw yourself on your daddy's chest and say, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to give in to pushing away at you and doing it myself. Forgiveness and choosing to trust is the only remedy for most things that cause us to be able to receive or respond to intimacy with God. We need to forgive. We need to learn to choose to trust. You know, if we've got hurt, just forgive. Just simply forgive. Just because God says so. That can work. Have you ever smelled a mouse in a house, a dead mouse? Well, that's like unforgiveness. You know, if you lived in the house, you wouldn't be able to pick up on that smell. But anybody walking in, boy, it's the first thing they hit. We get accustomed to the dead mouse smell in the house when it comes to unforgiveness. And God's saying, get it out. Your house is meant to be perfumed by my presence. Fear of vulnerability. God so wants to make you safe and secure. We have to choose to say, you are my safety, and climb back into that relationship. You know, there's going to be times where you may not be able to access your feelings, but you still believe, and I want to honor you in your faith. The Lord told Patricia King one time this amazing statement, because she was saying to him, you know, I just can't feel anything right now. She was walking through a really tough time, and she says, I just can't feel affection. And this is what the Lord said to her. The work of the cross was the deepest embrace that God could ever express to mankind. Isn't that amazing? We are legally in Him, and He is in us. We are one for eternity, and you cannot get any more intimate than that. When you cannot feel something, there is a place where you can just stand up and go, I legally belong to God because of the shed blood of Jesus, because of His willingness to walk in forgiveness. And I'm going to cling to Him. If I can't, you know, cling to my own, I'm going to cling to Him until His nature and His character are absorbed into me or begin to issue from my life. And I know that time is up, but I want you guys to go home this week and apply this. If you're anything like me, it doesn't take long for me to, if I don't have a routine, that intimacy with the Lord, that secret place with Him, I begin to shy away from going there if I get hurt. And guard those areas jealously. Just say to the Lord, you know, I want to come quickly to you if something happens. So come to Him just for Him. Cultivate that. Come to Him just because He's amazing. Come in simple childlike faith and fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't sit with God until you make eye contact. Spirit to spirit, drink in that gaze. Let the scriptures bubble up. Put them in, yes, but let them bubble back out. It's like a bubble bath. Let them come and soak you. Let Him talk to you. You know, He might bring a memory back to you where you need to be healed up. Let that memory come back. Don't let the pain shut it down, but follow that little bit of pain there and let it take you to a place where the Holy Spirit can counsel you and comfort you Himself. Because with Him, He's an ever-present God. He can take you right back as though it was happening all over again. And some of you experience it without any healing. And God wants to come and minister healing. He wants to comfort and counsel you right there. So don't push memories down. Follow them. For some of you, He'll want to take you into an even deeper place. He might want to take you into a realm of glory. You'll have a new memory, a new encounter. But this all takes time, doesn't it? It takes cultivating that intimacy. And so today, we just want to say, Holy Spirit, come. Where there's pain, we ask, Lord, that You just come and free us as we choose to follow You, not like the horse with blinders and rules and regulations, but Lord, give us understanding of Your tenderness towards us. Come, Lord, and take us into new places. Teach us what heavenly realms and all the resources that You have for us so that we don't have to go out and get love ourselves. And Father, we just ask that even as we leave this building today, that we would be lovers with You and with each other and with those who don't know You yet. Lord, that when we bump up against someone who doesn't have the love of Christ, they'll say, how did you get so fat? How did you get so full of love? I want that. And so, Father, we just ask that You'd fill us right now and send us through this next week, that we would cultivate intimacy with You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.